We're increasing the documentation that's required for stores applying. We are doing collateral verification. So as a store comes in to apply to be a SNAP participant, for SNAP participation, we then check not only the material that they receive, but we also do collateral checks with things like the health department. We require tax information. We verify that information. It differs from state to state which authorities we would contact, but we would contact authorities who would do any licensing of that particular facility to ensure that the name and information that's provided in the application is absolutely correct. The other thing we are doing is working very closely with all of our partners, both our state partners and our federal partners. We have, in the last several months, sent a number of policy clarifications to governors and to state commissioners, ensuring that they are clear on the policy interpretation of things like water dumping.
What is water dumping?
Water dumping is when an individual goes in, purchases a juice, a soda, some kind of product. It has a deposit available to when you return it. They go out, buy it, pour everything out, take it right back to the store, and request the deposit. That is clearly trafficking, and so we have made it clear to our state partners that when that happens, they need to take immediate action for those who are violating the program. We also have increased in and strengthened our website. We now have a very simple website called Fight SNAP Fraud. It gives facts on what we're doing. It tells you how to report. And it also tells you what you can do to help. I mean, sometimes I find it interesting when I'm talking to people and I'm talking about this program, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I've had people approach me when I walk into a grocery store to buy my groceries. Well, that's trafficking. And when that happens, we would hope that the public would, when they got home or on their way home, would pick up the telephone, call our fraud hotline, tell us where the store location is, time of day, any additional information. In the last year, we've penalized or fined more than, not in the last year, in the first quarter of 2012. We've made some real progress with some of the policy changes that we instituted. We've temporarily disqualified more than 225 stores. We've permanently disqualified 350 stores for trafficking. We have an alert system. It's a new generation, which we're launching this spring, that will allow us to have more clarity to the information that is available on transactions, that we see more real-time information, so that if we have a store that we have some question about because we have looked at their transaction over the last month, we can go in and now do a more in-depth look at that store. We can go out, and even if we wanted to do a store visit, undertake a store visit. We're looking at things like depth of stock. So a store that may come in, we want to make sure that the products that they are selling reflect the redemption rate that we're seeing in the information as we review their redemptions.
We're speaking with Audrey Rowe. She is the administrator for USDA's Food and Nutrition Service. Do stores report in some fine-grained detail what it is they are selling, and do you have computerized ways of matching to make sure that those purchases are correct?
Well, we don't look at the actual purchase that the person makes in terms of the food products that they are buying. What we can see clearly is the amount of that purchase. And so we look for anomalies. For example, if you have a store where we're seeing some very large transactions, or we're seeing the same individual, we look for patterns, the same individual who, that same card, we see it being redeemed in the morning, an amount of money is redeemed in the afternoon, again in the evening. Those are all alert signals for us to take a much closer look, not only at that store, but then to look at other purchases that are going on in that location.
Are you able to tell, for example, if liquor or cigarettes or something prohibited under the SNAP program were to be purchased using one of the cards?
We're able to do that through our on-site investigations. If we see a pattern, let's say it is a store that sells alcohol, and we see a pattern coming from that store of purchases say, in a volume that we would consider to be greater than the food that is available on the shelves in that store, we will do observations. We will also, and I've participated in some of these, in one of these, we'll go into the store and actually make a purchase. We'll determine whether or not the store owner will allow us, and I, as I said, I participated in one of our investigations and actually ended up making a purchase for an item that was an ineligible item to be purchased under the food stamp program.
There were some news reports saying that the stores that had been prohibited went on selling right after USDA turned its back. Have you taken steps to eliminate that or verify that that is in fact the case?
We became aware of stores that we had disqualified, store owners whom we had disqualified, who came back into the program through falsifying information. And when that information was brought to our attention, the same as I said earlier, when information is brought to our attention by the public, by the media, by anyone, we then take a more in-depth look at what the individual is alleging. And so we started looking more closely at stores that we had disqualified who are now back in the program. And for the ones that they had shared with us, two-thirds of those stores were either no longer in the program. They may have, we weren't sure where they identified those locations, but they weren't participating in the program, or we cleared them. So about a third were cleared, about a third weren't participating. And in the remaining third, we're still going through, and we have found some issues, and we've disqualified those stores. And that has allowed us to look at our policies on how we, on the initial reviews, authorization of the store, and on the reauthorization for stores. And so some of what I talked about earlier, now doing a number of collateral checks, that information allowed us to review our policies, to take some actions, and to strengthen them. I mean, somewhat in this area, it's like cybersecurity. Every time we think we have managed to get, we're on top of and we're managing what are potential fraud actions that can be out there, something new comes along. Technology has added new things. We have found people selling benefits on Craigslist, so we've had to notify the CEO of Craigslist that this is trafficking, and it is illegal. Same thing on Facebook. So this latest information was just the continuation of data, information, that we could then use to help us strengthen our program and to help us look at our policies.
So to summarize, it sounds like your most fertile area to focus on is the stores rather than the recipients of the benefit itself.
Well, it takes two to traffic. So one of the activities that and one of the policy changes that we have made is when we disqualify a store for trafficking, we send that information to the state agency. State agency then has information on all the individuals who made purchases in that store. They can then, as a state agency, closely look at the kind of purchases. They can take some action using their own investigative policies and techniques. We also refer to OIG. We work very closely with OIG. We work closely with state and local enforcement authorities. When we see patterns and we see have any question about trafficking activity, certainly at significant levels, we immediately refer that information and work closely with law enforcement.